Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start of their morning here this morning. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the show. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Manny Navarro will join us at 7 o'clock. Get into a little Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward conversation with him. Robbie and Rex Road presented by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. Freaked out today because I didn't have my jacket, and so I'm going into kids' rooms with my phone light, you know, where's my freaking jacket? And it was in the car.
Oh. So you had already prepared, even though you didn't know that you had prepared. That's how good you are.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know why or how. I don't remember taking off my jacket and just leaving it in my car. Some people do that. I just don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you don't normally do something like that, it's weird. And I apologize to my family. They're not listening, but, you know, sorry. Have a good day.
hope you have a great time.
Yeah.
Geezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Good. I hope you guys enjoy your little present I set out for you.
Yeah. This morning. About that.
Yeah.
So it's BYOC from now on here?
I guess so.
Okay.
Hey, I did check the kitchen, and I believe we have our magical coffee back, Joe.
Oh, so, they actually put coffee in there.
You didn't tell us that before the show?
I wanted to leave you your present before, and then when you went back for your second cup, you could go, wow, they actually came by yesterday.
Okay. All right.
I told Chase, I mean, if he wasn't listening to the rant yesterday, I told him on my way out, like, Chase, I'm going to absolutely litter the airways with F-bombs if you don't give me coffee tomorrow. So maybe that's...
Apparently they listened.
Yeah, maybe. Or they're just nice.
Yeah, we'll have to go check it out. See if Keezer's telling the truth in there.
I'm not kidding.
But this
Pretty
is
sure.
This is the fancy stuff that Keezer left. For anybody who's watching, that's fancy.
Yeah. Go to your local wholesalers are good.
Oh, man.
Also, this is for Kuharsky today.
Shh. No one cares.
That's right.
No one cares. I'm looking forward to getting Kuharsky in here a little bit later in the program. Joe, we begin with another Tennessee loss in basketball, this time to the Kentucky Wildcats. So two teams who over the course of the past week and a half have lost to Vanderbilt. Met in Knoxville last night, and the Vols lose and give up the most points they've given up all season long to this point. Their fourth loss of the season. What did you make of the Tennessee-Kentucky game last night, and where things currently sit for Rick Barnes and this Tennessee program?
Yeah, well, first of all, I thought that Zakai Ziegler had a serious knee thing. I mean, even Rick Barnes said at halftime, yeah, he doesn't usually just pull himself from the game like that. It looked like he hyperextended it. So it could have been way worse, I guess. But he came back in the game, played the whole second half, of course, because Tennessee can't go a second without him on the floor. And it's just as the time goes on, I'm concerned about that team. I don't think they have all the things you need. You know, Chaz Lanier has been a key add, and he's been in a shooting slump. He hit some big shots last night, but you know they went 11 for 45 from three. 11 threes is great. 45 attempts from three is what? And you know some of it is like, well, Kentucky just let them have those, and they don't have any. They don't really have any threat to get to the basket. You know, they don't. You can throw a lob to Felix Okpara, but they don't have anyone to throw the ball into. No one else penetrates other than Ziegler, and then he usually doesn't shoot because he's going to get blocked. So he'll drive through the lane and weave around, and you know, I don't think Tennessee. I mean, they're a very good team, but you know they got four SEC losses now. Of course, they were undefeated going in the SEC. They were number one in the country. This is not that team. It's just, you know, if you compare this team to last year's team, obviously Connect is the big difference. But you know, but also Josiah James. Also, you know, even though he was struggling with his shot, Vescovy, like they had depth and they just don't have everything you need, I don't think. So I'm not, you know, like they're gonna be a well seeded NCAA tournament team. Could they go on a run? Yeah, they can, and they can play better than this, but I do think they're just missing some things. And look, last year Ziegler could a lot of these games, he could actually kind of take breaks because they would just want to, like, give it to Dalton, get out of the way offense, right? It has to be him at all times, on the floor, running the team, creating everything, and creating everything on defense, and the poor kid is getting run into the ground.
Well, I don't know what he's going to have left by the time the tournament comes around. Like, it's, you know, you're talking about a guy that's a fan favorite and has been there forever and does all the right things, and, you know, Rick Barnes went on this – basically tirade the other day about how much he loves Zakai Ziegler, and he's like the reason he's still coaching and all this other stuff.
It's like every week.
Yeah, like we all know how important he is, but like, number one, he probably doesn't need to be your best offensive option on a team that's got a chance to win a national championship. And number two, like I don't know that he's going to have any legs by the time that the actual NCAA tournament comes around. They feel to me, and look, I'm admittedly very uneducated in the college basketball world. They feel to me every time I watch them, a team that's pretty good, is really good defensively, but really does not have the depth or really the pieces offensively for me to seriously consider them making some deep run to the Final Four or something like that this year.
Yeah, they need, you know, like a Darlingstone DeBar. At times you see him, you know, hit a shot or go up last night. He had a steal and a dunk. You're like, man, I mean, that guy is talented. Like, they need something like that, too. I like Cade Phillips off the bench, you know. I wouldn't mind seeing him play more and try to get a little more interior game with him. But I agree with you. I can't disagree. And Ziegler's 1-for-11 from three last night. And at this point, you know, I'm sure it's a confidence thing, but it's also – it has to be a legs thing. This guy came into – college basketball, he's a 40% shooter. He's a good shooter. And he right now is falling further away from – he's into the 20s, you know, falling away from 30%. So, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that, you know, assessment. But they're – you know, they came in with the number one defense. And I'll say this about Kentucky. Kentucky played great last night. They're going to have some nights where they just are so hot from three. Like, the way they play and the amount of shooters they have – you know, now there's other night, and unfortunately for Tennessee, that's two straight years where Kentucky came in and just shot the heck out of the basketball when they weren't maybe aren't that good of a team, but you know, last night they were hot. So, and they're a good team, fun team to watch. I'd still, you know, if these teams played like 10 times on a neutral floor, I'd probably take Tennessee to win 6 or 7 of them. But I don't. That's no solace right now. They just won at TBA.
They did. Uncle Rico on Twitter, Joe. Says, Tennessee not going to be a serious contender in the tournament. Barnes needs to move on. This from Uncle Rico on Twitter.
Please, best coach in program history, get out of here. It's incredible.
I haven't seen a ton of clamoring for Rick Barnes to move on lately from Tennessee fans.
Their first
loss. There was a couple years ago where that was pretty prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the year that they lost that really good team – that lost to Michigan. That was a killer. I did see, like, the game, like, after their first loss this year, someone, I think I've mentioned on the show, like, the game has passed Rick by after their first loss. Yeah. It's like, all right. Yeah. I mean, look, at some point, that transition is coming. I'm gonna compare this a little bit to Ryan Tannehill, because I at one point said it, I have no idea when it was, but like, when are the Tennessee Titans going to get quarterback play like Ryan Tannehill gave them for a couple years? Let me know.
Looking for it.
And it hasn't been close. And, you know, it hasn't been a lot of time. But it's going to be the same thing with Rick Barnes. Okay, when he leaves, do you think you just snap your fingers and you got somebody who's going to be able to do what he's done? Good luck. I mean, and I don't know if it's going to be one of his disciples who takes over or whatever. But this is one of those, you know, appreciate what you have while you have it type things.
Then you can take that money and you can put it back in the NIL for the football, and we can move on.
That's right. Yeah, Robbie's plan is to just completely disband scrap the entire program. Yeah. Yes. And put that money into football. Yes.
Hey, there are some people that would love that.
Would agree with you. Yeah, yes.
There are. There are. My question for the day for Titans fans out there and for us to consider here as we kind of move forward with this conversation. And we'll get Kuharski's thoughts on this later as well, but just something to consider here. There's a lot to find here. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about quarterback. We have spent a lot of time talking about quarterback. We'll continue to do so as the offseason progresses. One thing that I've been screaming about for like 3 years at this point, basically ever since they traded A.J. Brown and we discovered that Treylon Burks wasn't going to be very good. Where's that next receiver coming from? How do you find it? How important is it? And is there a path to doing that this year, this offseason for the Titans? We're going to get into that coming up next. We'll take a look at how things have shaked out or shook out in the playoffs this year and how important having one of those guys actually is for your success moving forward. And do the Titans have the ability to do all these things in one offseason? Is receiver a luxury that they can afford to really go after this offseason? We'll get into all that throughout the show. Take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Manny Navarro at 7 o'clock. From The Athletic, we'll get into Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward with him. Paul Kuharski will be with us later in the show. We got a lot on tap today, and we welcome your participation as always. Back into the Titans and the wide receiver conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, wide receiver. One of the many needs that the Titans have this offseason, and I've been saying for a long time, we've talked about it on this show, that they've got to find that next young wide receiver here at some point. Now, then the question becomes, where does that kind of fall in line in terms of the needs for this team this offseason? We all know they need quarterback and right tackle and edge rusher. You know, wide receiver is a part of that. Where does it fall in line in terms of how you rank the needs? Is there a path to landing one of those young wide receivers that you feel good about building around that's realistic and makes sense this offseason? And then, frankly, when you look at the draft, like how many of those guys in this draft do we think actually fit that mold? And then the other interesting part is how important is it? Like I was looking at the playoff teams this year last night as I was kind of mentally going through this exercise. You know, it's interesting because if you break it down by conference, like in the NFC, you look at the top teams. Like Detroit has Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously the Vikings with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, Philadelphia with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Like a lot of your top teams in the NFC have those guys, like those wide receivers. You flip it over to the AFC, like Kansas City doesn't really have that guy. I mean, Worthy may turn into that guy. We'll see. Play well. They've had Travis Kelce throughout the years, which is not the same position, but has served as that guy. You know, early in his career, he had Tyreek Hill, obviously. So they've done it different ways in Kansas City. But when you have Mahomes, you can offset some of those things. Josh Allen doesn't really have that guy. He did with Stephon Diggs. And I thought with the loss of Diggs that they were going to take a step back this year, and they ended up in the AFC title game and had maybe their best year that they've had. Baltimore. Like, Baltimore has Zay Flowers, who is a good player. Yeah. Like he had 74 catches this year, over 1,000 yards. The way they run their offense is a little different, right? Like, they get a lot of production in the running game from Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. So, you can get there by doing it different ways. By and large, if you're getting there without one of those guys, Joe, it's because you have the elite of the elite quarterback. And that's kind of the exercise that I went through.
Yeah, you have the elite quarterback. Obviously, the Eagles and the Ravens have elite running backs. Ravens also have, last play of his season aside, Mark Andrews is a big part of it too. So on this thing, this discussion, I will throw in there real quick. Tyler Warren is one of those dudes who looks like, I mean, when you talk about a pass catcher and someone, because I know it was last year for sure, right, the Final Four, which was Kansas City, Ravens, Lions, Niners, all of them top shelf tight ends. Now, not top of draft tight ends, but top shelf tight ends, which matters too. Yeah, there's different ways to do it. But, yeah, it's hard to be very good if you don't have great receivers. A lot. I mean, the Titans have a good one in Calvin Ridley, so that's at least a place. So they're not completely bare right now.
Yeah, like he is a – watching Calvin Ridley play the last 2 years, here with Jackson – or here with the Titans and then the year before that in Jacksonville, I think he's a really good player. I don't know that he's like a number one wide receiver on a team that's competing, right? Like he's probably a really, really good number two on a team that's competing. Now, I say that. He's had Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback, who at this point – you have to wonder, like, how good is Trevor Lawrence? And then last year he had Will Levis. So if the quarterback play improves substantially, what does that mean for a guy like Calvin Ridley? Now, I think you and I would also agree that the way things went down for Calvin Ridley this year, particularly early in the year when the production wasn't there, yes, a lot of that was on the quarterback. Some of that was also on him. I think that became pretty clear throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, well – if you want to talk about things that improved for the Titans, special teams did improve.
It did.
From terrible to, okay. Actually, Ridley, that was a real problem. You know, early on it was like, what? Like, they don't even know what route. He and the quarterback have no idea what route it's supposed to be. It was bad.
It was awful.
And so that part actually did get a lot better. You had to feel a lot better about Ridley by the end of the year. But, yes, he's a really good two. I mean, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. I'd take DeVonta Smith over Calvin Ridley, and DeVonta Smith, I guess, is there too. I mean, right? It's 1A, 1B, but that's the level of – and that's a team that doesn't even like – you know, that's a team that emphasizes the run game, and they got those two receivers.
Those two guys, yeah.
Pretty ridiculous.
Which goes to the conversation yesterday of that roster.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. You really know how to get me going this morning, Robbie, talking about A.J. Brown before 6:30 in the morning.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay. You know, miss that guy a lot. And I do think it is very important that you have to find, like, you have to find somebody. Like, you have to attack it. And looking, and I'm sure maybe some of you all, and I'm sure other people out there played around with the draft simulators and things like that. And so I just, well, first off, I'm not buying the bait or taking the bait on the McMillan fella out of Arizona. Like, to me, he's just kind of like another version of, maybe a Corey Davis type. And I don't see us taking him at one. So I'm targeting a second round guy. And here's some guys I would like to see in the second round. I would like to see the Ohio State, Abuka, the two out of Texas, Isaiah Bond, and something Golden.
Matthew Golden.
Yeah, and then I would also like to see the guy out of Miami that carried the water for Cam Ward. Restrepo. Hey, those four guys, man, they're really fast. I can see them doing something here for 3 years and then us trading him before contract time or maybe a unsolicited tweet that the GM or the owner doesn't necessarily agree with. But, fellas, you know, in the days of our Titans, I'm just convinced that we're going to take a tackle at one. It's the Mike Fisher draft of the Kansas City era that really started the rebuild. Fellas, it's going to be a long off season, and it sucks, and it's a long winter. So I'm here for it, fellas. Thanks for doing the hard work, and the marathon continues.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. That was the Eric Fisher draft.
I was going to say, well, Mike Fisher, is he coming out of retirement again?
I don't know that Mike Fisher could play left tackle in the NFL.
He could be a slot receiver, though.
Probably could.
He'd be a powerful little slot receiver. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A little fullback.
Yeah, a little fullback, yeah.
Well, so he brings up the draft part of this. Obviously, I mean, that's where you're going to have to find one of these guys if you're the Titans. How equipped is this year's draft to have that? I don't know. Like, he brought up McMillan, who I think is expected to be the first receiver off the board. Like, I don't, Joe, personally believe that he's any threat to go number one overall if you're the Titans. Like,
But also, he's not Corey Davis.
No, he's pretty good. Like, I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player in the league. You know, we've talked about Luther Burden now for a while, like Luther Burden from Missouri. You know, can he be one of those upper crust guys in the NFL? He's going to go at some point in the first round. you know, he brought up, you know, Ogba from Ohio State.
Igbuka, yeah.
Yeah, like Igbuka. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What did I say? Ogba? I'm thinking of Emmanuel Ogba. Never mind. Not the same guy. Does he make it to the second round? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get down in the second round. So, like, to me, if you're ending up with, like, McMillan, it's probably because you've traded back, if you're the Titans, and you've acquired more picks. And whether you traded down to 5 or 6 or 7 or wherever it is, you look at it and you say, okay, he's our best option. He's the best option available on the board. If it's not going to be that scenario, like, is Isaiah Bond a guy that can be a wide receiver to build around at the NFL level? I don't know. Like, I think there are a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. How many great ones are there? I think it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and can you later find the great one who no one knows right now is a great one? I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, no one was saying, no, he's a great one. He went in the 4th round. Okay, that seems about right for him. Good for you, decent slot receiver, and we've seen what he's become. Can you find that guy? Can you hit on something like that? I mean, A.J. Brown was in the 2nd round, but in the 50s, but that was a home run compared to his draft profile.
Yeah.
Right? Some people thought he might sneak into the end of the 1st round. If everybody knew he was going to become what he has become, then he would have gone in the top 5, 7,
yeah.
Right? I mean, something like that. We have a consensus big board of The Athletic, and with a bunch of people in attendance, but averaging out stuff. So, first of all, those names that we've talked about, that Jared brought up, all on there. Burden, certainly. One name that is on the top 50 that we haven't discussed is Trey Harris from Ole Miss.
Yep.
And actually, Bond is not in there. Real fast, so McMillan is number 5 on the big board, like number 5 prospect. Again, according to this, number 5 prospect in the whole draft.
Yep.
Then you get to Burden and Igbuka are 15 and 16. So, you know, that would tell me that you have a good chance at 3 first-rounders, and then you get into the 30s before you get to Golden and Harris. By the way, would you like to guess where the quarterbacks are on the big board?
Sure. I'll put Cam Ward at 7, Shedeur Sanders at 12.
You got their separation about right. Cam Ward, 13.
Okay.
Shedeur Sanders, 17.
Okay.
But Hunter, 1. Carter, 2. Genty, 3.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Then Graham. I mean, Genty is, he's going to be a star in the NFL. It's just, but again, it's like, it's that position, you know, just as a player. Then you get into, you know, Mason Graham. Then you get to McMillan. But that, I mean, McMillan, according to this, and, you know, you can look back in any big board in a year or two and find some things you're like, oh, wow, that guy was number 4 on everybody's big board, and he is a total bust. But that's in front of a lot of good players, including offensive tackles and
yep.
Starks and Will Johnson. It's something to keep in mind.
Well, and we're having this entire conversation about wide receiver, and we've not really brought up Travis Hunter. Like, what's he going to do
right
in the NFL, right?
Like, yeah, like you take him number 1.
Is,
you know?
If you're taking Travis Hunter number 1, do you have that in mind if you're the Titans? Like, is he that guy? It'll be interesting to see that part of it as well. Your thoughts on wide receiver, 615-737-1025. How important is it that the Titans find their next young guy? Do you feel like this draft may have some opportunities for the Titans to do that? And where does it fall in line in terms of the needs that you'd like to see the Titans address? We'll continue those discussions coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the wide receiver position, let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. So here's the deal, dude. Like, you guys have a pretty sweet job, except these months. Like, this is hard. I don't know how you do. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Stuart Scott. That's what I wanted to be for a living. That was my goal in life. And then I get older and I'm like, how do you talk about teams that are horrible though? Like that's the thing. Like I love the Titans so much. I don't think there's a wrong answer. It just dawns on me while you're talking about wide receivers. I'm like, I mean, yeah, we could use a wide receiver. We could use everything. I don't think there's a right answer either, dude. Like, I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. It's like when you go to these conferences and there's spider webs of, like, cause and effect. If you make this decision, it could go a million different directions. The Titans, like, Borgonzi, good luck, dude. Like, this is – it's so bad. I'm so sad, and it's bad, dude. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys – good luck for the next 3 months, man. Like, who knows? A wide receiver? I don't know that dude from Arizona State or whatever. I'm sure he'll help us. But, like, what can you imagine putting a good player on the roster that we just had, that we had to sit through for 4 months? So, I don't know. Good luck to all you guys, man. It just sounds terrible.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Jeez. Everybody knows that, you know, when you look up the hardest workers in America, you and I is what come up first.
Yeah. I'm depressed now. My God. You're right. This sucks.
Feel bad for
I'm
us.
I'm leaving.
Yes.
Yeah. We're fine. I can just sit here and puke dumb words into a microphone.
Your workload?
You're fine. What'd you just drop there?
Your workload.
Yeah. Okay.
Many of you have, you know, actual jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't work nearly as hard as us. Yeah. We have to, well, I mean, we have to, you know, wrestle with Izzo in the mornings,
yeah,
screaming in the pre-show meetings.
Pre-show meeting starts at 1:45 a.m. So
his team's 18-2. He's talking all this trash now, you know. It's very, very tiring, guys. Thank you for your concern.
Look, the McMillan kid, you know, I haven't watched a ton of him. You know, he played at Arizona. So I'm not going to lie to everybody and say that, you know, I watched a ton of Tet McMillan at Arizona this year.
But you probably watched enough to be like,
I've watched enough to be
he's
like, he's pretty good. I mean, he's 6'5", 215.
Yeah.
Like, he's got your size. And you're also talking about, and look, I understand college production does not always translate to the NFL. But you are talking about a guy the last 2 years where in 2023 he had 90 catches for 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. And last year, 84 catches, 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. He's pretty darn good.
And by the way, his quarterback, who was like his good friend growing up, is not he's not a pro. Like, you know, he had some limitations at quarterback,
yeah,
too, and still dominated games. Now, I mean, look, I'm been wrong on so many guys. It's so I find it funny when anybody who has done this for any amount of time, like, so put pound, you know, this is absolutely, this player is going to be this or that. You don't know, man. You don't have a freaking clue. Let's all start there and admit that. But I like that guy a lot, and I think he could be one of those just big, fast, just guy who, you know, just hard to physically overcome in this league. So that's, I mean, and I think him being fifth on that big board tells you a little bit. He's not, again, when they drafted Corey Davis, first of all, like, Corey Davis, I have to go back and look, but I bet you on big boards he was probably in the 20s, which is probably still higher than, like, he ended up being as a player. But that was a, well, we got to have a receiver.
Yeah.
Let's take the receiver here. Tet McMillan would not be that.
He would not. Now, it's what he does, and I think you could throw this in for offensive tackle as well. How comfortable, if the Titans are looking to move out of number one, how far down are they comfortable going? Like, are you comfortable dropping down to 5, to 7, to 9? Like, it's hard for me to imagine you being comfortable dropping much past 7. Like, that's just me. I'd have a tough time going past that. Like, to me, even if it's not at number one, you need to walk away from this with what you feel like could be an elite player that you can build your roster around. Yes, getting more picks is important, but I still think, regardless of how many picks you have, the most important thing is filling your roster with as many great players as you possibly can.
Right.
So I don't have a whole – just me looking at this, I don't know that I have a whole lot of interest in going lower than like 5 or 6 if you're trading back. How do the Titans view it? And is McMillan a guy where if they traded back to 5 – they'd say, you know what, Abdul Carter's gone, and, you know, Mason Graham's gone, and quarterbacks are gone, Travis Hunter's gone, but we've traded down to 6, and we feel pretty good about McMillan. Like, does that – would they be willing to go down that far?
Yeah, and if you assume, you know, the two quarterbacks – you know, if you go by the big board, assume the two quarterbacks are going to jump up above that, then in theory, like, if you were at 7, you could still get a McMillan. Again, if you just went strictly – if these rankings were to play out, but you add the two quarterbacks at the top of the draft and bump everybody down 2 spots, you know, then you could, then that might be your best bet, you know. Now, You know, it also might be your best bet to, you know, we've talked about Abdul Carter, but when you do take need into consideration, like Michael Williams and James Pierce, on this big board, that's 8 and 12.
Yep.
You know, like, would it get to a situation where, you know, that's where it's like, okay, well, if you think McMillan is a better overall prospect, but you need an edge so badly, and those guys could be, you know, that's where it could get interesting. But I'm with you. I wouldn't want to go. And you're not going to the middle of the first round. I guess I say that, and you know, you look at what they did in 16. They did do that.
Yeah, and they moved back up.
But then they moved back up. They got so much else in return. So I suppose you could look at it that way too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to get Kuharski's thoughts on this. Like, you know, Brinker's thrown out the 30 picks over the next 3 years, and the 12 top 100 picks that they're looking for. Like, the more I think about that, Joe, the more I don't know how realistic that actually is. Now, how hell-bent are they on actually hitting that mark, or is that, like, the goal, and if you get close enough, then you feel good about it? If you're the Titans, I don't know. But, like, to me, moving out of the first round, like Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, if somebody includes next year's first, then I'll drop down to, like, 12 or 15. If I'm dropping down to 12 or 15 in this year's draft, you better give me a haul. Yeah. I mean, a big-time haul.
Yeah, but if you
and it's going to be more than next year's first.
True, but I will say if you had next year's first, and then you know wherever you're going to end up, and it depends who you're trading with too. But that's how you can get back up to the top of the next draft
for a quarterback.
For a quarterback, if that's the way things go. Cam says you guys do work hard, but Jared not so much. He wants to trade number 35 pick for Sam Darnold.
I've heard that. We've had actually a couple questions about that
right
on the text line this morning. The trading number 35 overall for Sam Darnold. First off, again, I don't know how realistic this actually is. And it's funny because he's talked about that, and then he brought it up with like Fitz, and Fitz was like, "Well, yeah, Minnesota wouldn't do that." And then all these Titans fans are like, why would the Titans trade 35 for Sam Darnold? Like, it's pretty funny, the difference in perception.
So, really, then, who says no? Maybe they both actually would.
Like Jared's been like, well, if Minnesota doesn't like it, the Titans fans don't like it, it's probably a good deal.
There you go. Stilly logic. I'm actually with him kind of a little bit. He works hard, though.
All seriousness, I will say this. If you're Brian Callahan – and you get to the through the evaluation process, and you feel like Sam Darnold could be your franchise quarterback moving forward, I'd give up 35 for him if he felt that way. I just don't know if you're going to feel that way when you get to the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, again, like the
35, if you believe the guy's a franchise quarterback, is really not a big price to give up.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you're starting right out with paying them, but okay, he's still young. I mean, that's absolutely worth it if you believe that. Now, again, this is coming from a guy who actually thinks, like, it's crazy to think that Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold, which just blows my mind. But, you know, let's box score scout that and twist that one. My God. I've seen Sam Darnold play in a playoff game. I've seen Jalen Hurts dominate several playoff games. Sure. But, yeah, I agree. Like, if you actually think that of Darnold, then that is a fine price.
I don't know that that's what the evaluation would be if you're the Titans.
I have my doubts.
So, again, probably not. I talked about this from Minnesota's standpoint. I think it makes a lot of sense for Minnesota to keep both of the quarterbacks there at least for next year, and then you figure it out after that. I mean, he did just quarterback a team that won 14 games. I don't think you just ignore that.
Yeah.
Got to get it next year. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds pick to click coming up next. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. We'll continue the conversation on wide receiver and the NFL draft. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on Vancouver. Puck drop, 8 o'clock, late one tonight. Pre-game, 7 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. You can check out Preds Insiders at 6 o'clock with myself and Adam Vinyan, so make sure you're tuned in for that. The standings in the competition, shout-out to Kuharski. Stepping in for me last time out. Rexford remains in first place with 11 answers. The listeners and myself on the board, 7 correct answers. Shout out to Kuharski, who has 3 correct answers overall in this competition. 2 for you, 1 for me.
Unstoppable.
Guy's unbelievable. Nick Kieser with 4 to round things out. With that in mind, We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle to the program. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Philip Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Thank you, Kyle. Forsberg has been on a roll lately. I will go Steven Stamkos in the competition. Forsberg, Stamkos off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click.
I'll go with Jonathan Marchessault.
Going with Marchessault. Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault. The top line off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click.
So does that mean Kaharski is like 3 for 3 and Nick's like 4 for 15?
I think Kaharski is like, I think he's 3 for 4 or 3 for 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He actually missed one?
He missed one.
Okay. Let's go with the captain. I don't think I've gone with the captain much of it all this year. It's good. It's going to be a night. A nice power play goal tonight.
Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, Yossi. The selections in Preds pick to click. Preds taking on the Vancouver Canucks tonight. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the wide receiver / Titans draft front. A couple of people pointed out it would be a very Titans thing to draft Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State. I don't anticipate that happening.
I don't either, but I will say, and they shouldn't, but I will say that he's going to be great. He is going to be so fun in this league. Here's a text to Robbie. Build talent through the draft. Take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Okay, I'm with you.
Okay.
Right tackle in the second round. Okay. Force Callahan to start Levis again. Further expose him for being a fraud QB whisperer and move on. Let's have another horrible fall in Nashville.
That'd be good.
What a great plan.
That's good stuff. Brian, you're starting Will Levis again.
And you are not allowed to bench him this year. No, sir. In fact, you're not even allowed to yell if he has another bowling ball turnover. You just must sit there and smile.
You sit there and say, good job, Will. Way to go. I mean, look, if we're going down that road, then I'm on the Nick Suss plan of bringing Zach Wilson and just have both of them. Zach Wilson and Will Levis.
Sure. I mean, this is a response here after I made fun of this ridiculous idea. I said, I'd put up with some bad football for some legitimate roster improvements and top-tier players of the draft. Not in favor of spending the first pick of the draft on anything less than a generational talent. Sorry that gives you and the rest of the transplant local media that doesn't care about the team a boring season. Actually, I don't think it would be boring. I mean, I think it would be a very entertaining.
It would be boring.
I mean, we'd have a lot of fun with it.
It would definitely not be boring.
Good God, man. You care about the team and this is your plan? You care about the team.
You know what? I haven't quite seen enough of Will Levis playing quarterback yet. Trot him back out there.
No changes allowed.
Kuharski's weighed in, by the way. He just tweeted in and said, I dominate, pick to click. Can't argue with the results.
Results are
what they are.
I was disappointed, though. I thought he was actually 5. Or I actually thought he was like 1,000.
He's missed at least one.
Okay.
But, I mean, a 75% hit rate in competition is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's better than you, and you're in first place.
We found something PK's good at.
Yes, we did. I don't think the Titans are going to consider taking Jeanty. I mean, unless you just move down to, 10, and he's the best player on the board at that point. But that's just a tough sell to me. Like, there's so many other needs. Hey, look, I'm with you. Like, I think he's got a chance to be a great player. And I've said it. Like, you can't go wrong taking great players. So, regardless of what the position is, if they're a great player, they're a great player. But with the number one overall pick, with the opportunity to move down, again, if it's me in charge, I don't know that I'm comfortable moving much past 5 or 6, and you're not taking Jeanty in the top 5 or 6.
Right, even though 3 on the big board, but yes. I mean, need still has to be a part of this, right? Not always. Sometimes it's just, especially with the Titans, you're so needy almost everywhere that it's like you can make a case for whatever. Just pick the best player. But if with him, I mean, you're pretty good there.
Yeah. Like, there's edge rusher, quarterback, tackle, wide receiver.
Guard, safety, linebacker.
Like, honestly, I'd probably be more comfortable with them taking another corner before they took a running back. That's just me.
No, listen, I'll tell you, guy that I – and obviously the Travis Hunter would be a part of that, but even like Will Johnson from Michigan, I think he's special.
I do.
And that would be one of those where it's like a head-scratcher on the need front, but I wouldn't – if that's wherever you were and he was the clear best player, yep. Okay. Now, again, you get into – I'm very interested to see where like Williams and Pierce are going to go, because I think both of them could be special players in the NFL. And they're in the top 12 in this big board. And that's, you know, that's one of those where it's really like from an edge perspective, if the Titans, you know, I mean, that, which is a huge, huge need, I mean, they could do pretty well here if they could get any of those three guys.
Nathan from Lawrenceburg, how would you feel about taking Will Campbell at left tackle and moving Latham to right tackle?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that.
How good is Will Campbell at the NFL level? Well, I guess is my question.
If you want me to go on the big board, I'll tell you. He's 10 on this big board. Yeah, I think he is the – actually, this big board has Simmons from Ohio State, Josh Simmons, that at 9, Campbell 10, Kelvin Banks from Texas at 11. 9, 10, 11 right there. So, first of all, it tells you, like, there's no Eric Fisher, who, of course, didn't turn out to be the number one pick guy, but good player. So, there's no one considered to be that level of tackle in this draft. I mean, last year, you know, there was a more highly regarded tackle class than this one. But yeah, I think Will Campbell has the look of a pro to me, but I've heard some people say that they think that he might be better at right tackle, too, you know? So...
Well, you can take and put him at right tackle.
You could. Just have two guys, you flip-flop what they did in college. It's happened. It happens.
Hey, Bill Callahan, that could be the way to go. You know, first off, this whole thing has highlighted how many different needs they have and how many different ways you could go. I think the question that we threw out there earlier is a question that as time goes on here and we get closer to the draft is really going to be interesting to see how the Titans view it. Like as you sift through all the tape and you do all your pre-draft process on all these guys, there's going to come a point where if you're Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan, all these guys, you sit in a room and you say, all right, let's say our goal is to move out of number one overall. How far down are we comfortable going? Like how far down are you comfortable going where you still feel like you can both add picks and come away with an elite player? Like, do you care about that? Or do you care about adding as many picks as humanly possible? Because you can do that in the draft. Like, it just depends on how far you're willing to go down. But I would love to know when they get through all of this what that answer is. Is it, do they feel good about 5 guys? 6? 7? Like, how deep does that pool go for the Titans to where they'd be comfortable moving back?
Yeah, that's a good question. And as they convene, you know, thing that's not in their control is like how badly does someone want one of the quarterbacks that they're trading with, you know? Are there multiple someones? That's what you need, you know. What you really need is you need multiple someones who are fighting to try to get in there, and then you can ratchet up the price. I don't know if that's gonna be the case with these quarterbacks.
And you know, could it be the case with a guy like Travis Hunter? Maybe. Just how often do you see that with a non-quarterback? It's hard to get there with a non-quarterback.
Even a again, it's just, I mean, you might see it, certainly sometimes you might see it with like a dominant, you know, offensive lineman, dominant defensive player. That's the thing with Hunter is, again, it's like, you know, his versatility is so impressive and all that stuff, but does he project as an absolute superstar at either position in the NFL? I think corner, it's exactly what he could be. But some people don't agree with me on that.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Manny Navarro from The Athletic. We'll get into the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders talk with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.